Praise the Lord and greetings in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus. I am Pastor Johnny Magnus and I am coming to you from Mount Calvary Miracle Temple Apostolic Church at 1004 North Osage, Okmulgee, Oklahoma, 74447. I'm here on Tuesday morning at 9 a.m. because of my schedule, unable to come at 7:30 and do the Bible class, but that'll change when the time changes. So doing the best I can to make sure that we faithfully have Bible class up and to give a word that will be a blessing to God's people, to the hearers of the word, amen. If the hearers would carry out the word, if the hearers would believe the word, then I have no doubt that the word will be a help. Now, it's my intent today to complete Sunday school that I did not complete on Sunday morning, lack of time. I took too long on some areas or whatnot, but I thought the lesson was too good to not continue it. And so I want to continue it, and we're talking about the priority of obedience, and we're gonna start with the first few verses here that we had Sunday morning, and then we'll skip over to the second set of scriptures we had. But we'll start with Matthew, the seventh chapter, verses 21, 22, and 23, and then we'll skip to Matthew, the 25th chapter. I want to say I thank the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. I thank the Lord for being with us here at Mount Calvary. Every time we open the doors, he's here when we're not here, amen, protecting the building, amen. The building stands as a monument, if you will, as a testament to the goodness of the Lord, to salvation. I know that when people think about this church, I know that they think, hey, you want to be real. You want to, if you're going to deal with those people at that church, you better be ready to live right. And I do hope that that is the thought process going out in the community, that we are people who mean to live right, intend to live right, that we love the Lord and we serve the Lord. We thank the Lord for the message brought forth on Sunday through our First Lady, First Lady Zandra Magnus, amen. We thank the Lord for a good word. She doesn't ever stay up long, but some people are gifted with the ability to say less, but say more. Amen. And I think that anybody that hears her really enjoys hearing her. She only gets up on fifth Sundays. I tried to get it where she would get up on every first Sunday, and she said, no, I'll just do fifth Sunday. So, you know, since she's the first lady, I said, why don't you teach on the first Sunday of every month? But we're thankful to get it when we can. We thank the Lord for our ministers and deacons at Mount Calvary, amen. Every soul that faithfully comes to Mount Calvary, amen. I thank the Lord for you, the things that you do that I may not mention because some of you do so much, and I'm so thankful for it. And then by the time we get here on Sunday, I may forget, but I want you to know I really, really do appreciate the things that you contribute to keep us going, amen. Let's go to Matthew, the seventh chapter, verses 21, 22, and 23, and I'll just read them individually here. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And as we pointed out on Sunday morning, we'll point out again for those who didn't hear this, 2 Timothy 3 and 5 says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Too many people, they have the look, they have the sound, they have the right words and phrases, and can easily be mistaken for being a child of God. A lot of people profess that they are a child of God. But we can't be people who just say it with our lips. We have to be a child of God. And so we send the wrong message if we're professing to be a child of God because we feel good about something that the Lord blessed us with, or we're just having a good day and thank you, Jesus, people around us, and we're saying, Lord, I love you and whatnot. But as soon as you get a phone call or somebody cut you off in traffic, all kind of profanity is coming out. There's a desire to fight, or when you see an opportunity for gain that might not be moral or even legal, and you take advantage of that opportunity, which is not a real opportunity. These are the type of things that send the wrong message to other people, other would-be believers, others that we want to bring into the kingdom. They're a part of this family, but they haven't accepted the family yet. They're a part of this kingdom, but they have not come into the kingdom yet. And they see this type of behavior and began to think to themselves, is this what I want to be a part of? I'm already like this. So if you're professing to be of God, one of God's people, and you're thanking the Lord and you're crying out and you got all this heavy praise, but then you don't pass up these opportunities to do fleshly sinful things, and I'm looking at you do it. You're not even trying to hide it. Well, that's the problem with people who are not really saved, those who are not really serving the Lord. It has not processed in their mind yet that these things are not things acceptable to God. Then there are other things they know aren't acceptable to God, but people make their own doctrines, their own personal doctrines. They feel that their relationship with the Lord is unique from all the other relationships that God has with people. And somehow their relationship allows them to change God's word. God's word is unchangeable, unmovable. I am the Lord, I changeth not, is what God says. So he doesn't change. That means his word doesn't change. That means that no matter how good we think our relationship is with God, our relationship will not cause God's word to change. And it's something how people like this afford themselves great mercy from the Lord, but they don't have mercy, or they don't see the forgiveness and mercy of God upon anyone else who do the same things. People of God, we have to be careful. Now, a lot of what I'm saying, we didn't say on Sunday morning. I was trying to stick to my bullet points. But please understand the priority of obedience. If we're going to be professing godliness, let us walk in godliness. And I'll tell you the truth. In my almost 40 years of being saved, the ones who cry the loudest about how much they are a Christian, usually those are the ones you see all kind of other stuff leaking out of them. And the ones who really are Christians serving the Lord, they're the ones always thinking, what more do I need to do? Am I really walking in you the way you want me to, Lord? They're taking inventory of themselves. They're not stuck up on themselves because they're trying to figure out their salvation to make sure that they're doing what they need to do. They're not arrogant about their relationship with the Lord, but they just want to serve him. These are the ones really walking in the things of God. They're walking in the spirit and they're not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. But if I'm beating my chest all the time about how big I am in the Lord, you can probably rest assured that I've got not just what they call it, skeletons in the closet, but those skeletons have sinew on them. They're covered up with flesh. In other words, these aren't things from way back. These are things that are still occurring, sin. So we want to be careful, and we want to make sure we're obedient to the Lord. Those who are obedient to God have a spirit of humility. Because number one, they realize that any righteousness that is being performed in them through them, it is because of the power of God and nothing of themselves. When you begin to think so highly of yourself that you are the one doing it, you become self-righteous and you begin to make up your own doctrine and your own word on how God is going to do things. But when you're really living this thing, you're walking in humility. I tell people, When I preach the word or teach the word, or I counsel someone, or I give some advice to someone, And I know that it was God speaking in those different ways. I'm humbled by it. And some might say, well, you're a minister, not only a minister, you're a pastor. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is beyond my title, beyond how long I've been in the Lord decided to use this little old me to do such great and wonderful things. And instead of being caught up in the things that was done through me, I'm humbled by it, thinking, who am I that the Lord would use me for such a thing as this? I think that's the mindset that we need to adopt. If my people, which are called by my name, would first humble themselves, in order to get anywhere else in the Lord, and he set that up like a diagram, if they would humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. You see how that's a process there. If you're an engineer, if you're a chemist, you have a process that you have to go by. You have to start here before you can get here. You can't go over here without starting here. You're going to get the bad results, or you're going to get false results if you try to start over here. So you got to start here first and work your way through the process. And those of us who serve the Lord, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves, that is, vanquish your ego, demolish your agenda, rip up your agenda, humble yourself and pray. Come before the Lord just to praise him, magnify him. Come before the Lord expecting to receive from him, not with your own personal agenda that's 15 items long and you're pressing God for your agenda. God already knows your agenda. He already knows your wants and desires. But when you approach him with everything cleared out and say, Lord, I just love you. Praise him, magnify him, glorify the Lord, seek his face. And when we talk about seek his face, seek his word. His word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And you need to let his word be absorbed in you. And once you get to the point in that prayer where you're just so in love with the things of God, the power of God, his word, his righteousness, his holiness, he says, seek my face, and then you'll have the power to turn from your wicked ways. When you fulfill this process, he said, then will I hear from heaven and I will heal your land. So many people, they put the buggy before the horse. Lord, heal my land. I don't care about humbling myself, praying or seeking your face, and I sure ain't worried about turning from my wicked ways. I just want you to do this. So in the name of Jesus, I'm praying that you do this. Saints, we got to get beyond this immature approach to God, an unrighteous approach to God, and make sure if we're professing godliness that we're walking in godliness. So again, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So no matter how bold your proclamation is, no matter how loud it is, no matter how many people you tell on social media and in person, God knows what's here. He knows what's on the inside. He knows what we are really, really doing. And you can fool a whole lot of people, even yourself, into believing that you are where you need to be in God. Because if you repeat a lie enough, it becomes your truth. So you can fool everybody and yourself, but let's not fool everybody and ourselves. Let's walk this thing. Let's do this thing, all right? I want to point out again about memory scripture. Just because the Lord has gifted us with an immense brain and we can remember scriptures and quote them, it is good to be able to do that. But just because we're able to do that does not mean that we are saved. Amen. Here's the thing, the difference between our intellect and the Holy Ghost. Our intellect can recall. It can recall scriptures and we can quote scriptures. But I guarantee you, when you're in the heat of the fire of trials and tribulations in your life, your intellect is not going to work right. It's going to stall out. And that's when it's important for you to have the Holy Ghost, because now the Holy Ghost won't just pull up random scriptures for the opportunity to quote. The Holy Ghost is going to pull up scriptures that will bless you in whatever situation you're in. They're going to empower you in whatever situation you are in. They're going to encourage you and inspire you. They're going to give you knowledge, understanding, revelation, so that you can get through and over whatever is facing you in your life, whatever you are facing. And that's what the Holy Ghost will do. The intellect will play out at that point. Stall out is like having an old car, and it's been starting for you very reliably. But one thing about extreme heat and extreme cold, it capitalizes upon the weaknesses of your automobile. And so your automobile does well in the spring and it does well in the fall, but in the extreme heat of summer and the extreme cold of winter, it may not want to act right. That's our intellect. Whenever the extremes come, we may not be able to call up what needs to be called up, but the Holy Ghost is not weakened by what we are going through. The Holy Ghost, if we have put the word in there, the Holy Ghost brings the right word up, amen, and you won't have any trouble. You will not stall. You'll be able to get through it. Obedience to the Lord is important, because that ensures our right relationship with God, the open channel of communication. And without that open channel of communication, we're not able to be able to hear from the Lord like we need to hear from the Lord. All right, I'm doing just what I did on Sunday, taking too long. But let me point this out too. I talked about faith walkers on Sunday. And I'm going to tell y'all something. I get real bothered. I get real boogered up behind these so-called faith walkers. And what I mean by that, the people who don't apply to themselves what they try to apply to others. They will shut other people up if they hear you talking about you have pain. If they hear you saying something like, I hope I'm able to do. Oh, child, hush up. Don't you say nothing like that. I can hear negativity in your voice. Don't you talk like that. God is going to do it. You got so much faith to shut other people up, to become Lord over their situation, but you have not yet used all this grand faith that you have to stop the things in your life that you are doing. You're still walking in sin. Your mind is still cluttered with the things of this world. You're still walking in your flesh, but your faith is so great to lord over other people's situations in their life, but it doesn't have any impact on your own life. Don't be one of these faith walkers. If you got so much faith, faith is reliance upon Christ for salvation. So let that great faith you have work in your life for you to become delivered, for you to overcome, amen. And then as you overcome, you won't be shutting people up, talking about, don't you talk like that, that's negativity. No, you'll be using your testimony to share with them to help build their faith rather than trying to make them feel insignificant, like they're less than, by telling them you're speaking negativity in the air and I won't have it. People of God, that's not how we do. God himself doesn't even talk to us like that. So who are we to speak to people like that? If we're going to build them up and encourage them, then we need to have things in our own lives that we've gotten a victory of. And then we use the testimony of that victory to help the individual understand, hey, you know what? I was going through something very similar, just like what you're talking about. I was saying the same things you're saying right now. I just want to encourage you to hold on, because this is how God brought me through this same situation. And my God is not a respecter of persons, and I know what he did for me, he'll do for you. Now, do you think that will help the person move along and say, you know what? I believe God is going to do this for me. Or do you think by me telling them, shut up that negativity, And you need to have more faith and trust God is going to help them? No, that's probably going to make them a little upset. And you haven't added anything to their weakness that you feel like you perceive that they had. So you haven't added anything to it. So they walk away just as weak as you thought they were when you talked to them, and maybe even weaker. Saints of God, we have an obligation to be obedient to God, but we must first have knowledge of God to be obedient to him. And when we're not reading the word, a lot of people read the word, but they're reading it for other reasons. They want to be able to win a debate. They want to prove that they are scripturally sound or that they are spiritual. No, read this word for help to yourself. If you're a preacher, and let me make sure I'm saying this to our preachers here at Mount Calvary. I ain't talking no other preachers nowhere else, because somebody will be calling the bishop and saying he's trying to tell us all what to do. I'm talking to us right here at Mount Calvary. Don't just look at the word to get a message. Study this word, read this word to enhance your life in Christ, your relationship in Christ. And when you do that, you've got your message. All right. You don't have to worry about your message. I like how the Pope got up and he said, a great percentage of the time he has studied out a word and he's gotten a word together. But then when it comes time to speak on Sunday morning or for a Bible class, is something that the Lord has just given him. Amen. Well, that's wonderful. That means, you know, Bishop Taylor used to say, what's in the well will come up in the bucket. And so when the bucket goes down, it's able to pull something up. But if you only study scriptures for the point of getting a message out, then that bucket goes down and there's nothing for it to come up. My pastor, Pastor F.M. Henderson, used to say, if I call on you to preach, and you turn it down and you can't do it, Pastor said, you come on to the office. I want to know what's wrong, because there must be a dead cat on the line. Amen. And so we'll deal with that another time. But, you know, there are things that your pastor know that you don't think he knows, because he knows what the Lord is saying. He knows what he's experienced in life. He knows through the scripture. He knows through discernment. But as we're going to see in this next passage of scripture that we read here, sometimes things are done very calculative, very purposed in order to bring out the best in individuals. And it's an opportunity, to succeed or fail, but the hope is always that you succeed. All right, let me continue with this and then we'll get to the next passage of scripture. Verse 22 says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. I got to ask, were these folks sincere at one time and then went bad? You've got folk that seem like they're doing great things, being moved by the power of God. I'm not going to call a name, but there is one preacher right now that when they first began, their first 10 years, I'll put it at 10 years, 15 years, their ministry was so powerful. It was just almost unbelievable. And I know they were being led of the Lord. And now in recent years, they seem to have become like what so many are, reaching out for money. Telling people, come on up here with $1,000. Now, look, I know various different churches have their own situations, their own financial things that they have to deal with. But I like what Deacon Don said one time. He said, you know, if we do what God said and pay tithe and offering, we don't have to do all this other stuff. All right. Now, some churches are probably trying to build a hospital or a school or whatever like that, trying to maintain the hospital or maintain the school. And so there are some unique differences in various ministries whereby they need to have more money. But there is a spirit out here that's grabbing for money, and it doesn't seem to be attached to schools and hospitals, if you understand what I'm saying. And so this person, I hope they haven't gone bad, but their appearance looks like they've gone and deviated from the word of God. And saints of God, you can start off strong. And Paul said, you can make shipwreck. Please don't make shipwreck. Please don't allow yourself to go bad. If you're following the Lord, follow him with all that you have in you that is sincere, loving God and trusting God. Don't let yourself go off to another direction because somebody else look like they're doing well doing that. We're not in this to try to do well financially. It'd be nice if every preacher is able to make $100,000 a year, $1 million a year, whatever, just from being a preacher. I could just sit here at my desk 8 hours a day and study the Word of God. Some of you all love what you hear coming out of some of these other preachers. Well, let me tell you something. They're able to sit at their desk as long as they need to. They're able to invest all their time into ministry, so they're able to bring things forth in a way that a working pastor, he just can't do. Amen. But you can rely on your working pastor to bring forth the Word of God as the Lord gave it to him. Amen. So anyway, next question is, they prophesied, but was the prophecy true? You know, they said, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Well, you used the name of the Lord, but did you prophesy according to what the Lord said? So there's some things here that deserve to be looked at and questioned, because many people, as I said earlier, can fool themselves into believing that they are working for the Lord. They don't even look at the scripture to try to check themselves. I want to check myself with the Word of God and make sure I'm doing it the way the Lord said do it. And if I hear the Word go forth or read the Word and it's putting me in check, please believe I'm going to be in check, because I'll undergo an instant guilt, instant shame, and dare I say a feeling of condemnation. Amen. But then as soon as that comes, it leaves as long as I decide that I'm going to do it better than I did it before. Whenever you don't want to leave that way that you did it before, those feelings of guilt and condemnation will remain upon you until you get so bad in your flesh that you don't even feel that anymore. You become hardened, your conscience becomes seared, and you just decide, this is the way I'm doing it. And before you know it, you believe that the way you're doing it is the truth, and you lead other people to believe the same thing. All right. Now, I want to ask you this. Do you think that Satan is beyond trickery? Do you think he's beyond pretending that he's being cast out? You got people, just regular people who are not an entity, who are not a spirit. And you got regular people who can play act really, really well to fool the masses. And do you think that a regular human being has that type of ability and that Satan does not have that ability? If I was a Satan and I wanted people to follow a false ministry, would I not have a person come up that looked like they're possessed with my demons, and then fall out on the floor and look like that they have been delivered from those demons? Would that be beyond me? I don't think so. So listen, a lot of things that your eyes behold, your eyes dictate to you what's happening. And that's why you have to have the Spirit of God on the inside so you can know what's real. I hadn't been saved but a few months, and I just received the Holy Ghost 2 weeks after being saved. And I think I'd been saved 2 months, maybe 3 months, but I still went to our tarrying services at the church. And so we're in there praying and praising. A few folks are shouting, and there's this sister in the very back of the church. Now, everybody else is up front. There's this sister in the very back of the church, and she's speaking in tongues. Now, if you just listen with your ears, she sounds just like anybody else speaking in tongues. But her actions were not the actions of other people who was speaking in tongues. Other people who were speaking in tongues had tears coming out and praising God. You could feel the praise. You could sense the praise. And their activity was toward the Lord. Well, she was on the floor, beating the floor with her fist. And her tongue seemed to be a tongue of argument, of confusion. And even though I was really young in the Lord, I knew that that was not of God. I couldn't explain it. I didn't have verbiage to be able to say what it is or what it wasn't, but I noted it and I knew even at that moment what it was. And too many of us are allowing our own eyes and ears to dictate to us rather than the Spirit of God. I want to tell you, people of God, obedience is going to open you up to pure communication with the Lord, to where you will not be fooled. You will not be bamboozled by fakeness, by put-ons, by pretense of people or of the devil using his people. All right, I got to move on here because time is moving on. All right. So many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? All right. Now, the next question I have is this being done to magnify the Lord, or are these things being done for personal legacy building? We covered that on Sunday. And we have to be careful of our motives, people of God. Make sure your motive is right in what you are doing. You want to make sure that when you go forth to pray for somebody, that you're not wanting them to go and tell somebody, "Ooh, Elder so-and-so prayed for me and I can feel the power of God moving through him." I tell you, that's a mighty man of God. Please don't go and pray for somebody just so that they can hear your words and your cadence and your rise and fall of how you orate your prayer. You want to make sure that you're hearing from God, because when you are praying for somebody, you want to make sure that you say things that you're actually hearing from the Lord. You want that person to hear things that actually came from the Lord. You want them to be blessed through that prayer of faith, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much, not the one with perfect cadence and perfect oratory, with loudness and whatnot. A man prayed for me on yesterday, and he couldn't even assemble his words. He's really old. I prayed for him, and then as I finished the prayer and I was going to let go of his hand, he kept holding on to my hand, and he began to pray. And because of his age and sickness, he was not able to get all his words together. But people of God, I felt that prayer. He was praying for me as a pastor to do a good job as a pastor. He was praying for our church to grow. It didn't make no difference to me that he couldn't assemble his words. I knew what was being relayed there, and the power of God was in that thing. People of God, let's do what we do out of sincerity of heart. Let's do what we do because that's the way the Lord led us to do it. Let's do what we do so that souls can be blessed, souls can be saved, souls can be delivered, souls can be encouraged and inspired, not so that they can go and say something good about us, because that's us robbing God's glory, and that's us being idle. We're not doing it the way God told us to do it. Let's be obedient to God. Whenever I'm talking to somebody and I know that they need my counsel, I know that I am inept. I don't care how many scriptures I know. I don't care how long I've been saved. I don't care how many experiences that I've had. Every individual I talk to is unique. Their relationship with God is their own. Their relationship to me is unlike any other individual. And what their needs are have their particular little nuances that I don't know about. But you know who does know? The Lord knows. And so while they're talking, I'm listening, but I'm also praying and saying, Lord, please, Lord, give me what they need, because they're trusting me by way of you to give it to them. So Lord, give me what they need. Give me the right words. And I love it when a minister will be preaching and saying, that's all the Lord has given me. And then they're done. Or somebody that'll be praying for you and they pray what they heard from the Lord and then they cut it off. They don't try to just carry on and carry on for word's sake. Saints, we have an obligation to be obedient to the Lord. And when we're obedient to the Lord, you may think that it wasn't enough. You may think it was too much. But if you were obedient to the Lord gave just what was needed for that individual, and there will be something wonderful to come out of it. Let's go to the next passage of scripture, the Matthew 25. I didn't get to verse 23 in this, but we covered it Sunday. And if any of you have questions, feel free to text me or call me. Amen. And so I always get these scam calls while I'm teaching Bible class. All right, Matthew 25, verse 14 says, for the kingdom of heaven, I'm going to read 14 through 17, First Lady. Matthew 25, 14 through 17. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received the 2, he also gained other 2. All right. Now, this is what I'm saying is very purposed and calculated, that this individual had servants, and it almost looks like he just wanted to give his servants an opportunity to succeed. He wanted to know what was in his servants. And you know what? It's good for us to find out what's in us, because when we find out what's in us, whether it is good or bad, we can capitalize upon it. And that means that we can do better. When we find out what's good, we can make what's good even better. When we find out what's bad, we can turn it and make sure that that doesn't exist anymore, because by the power of God, we're able to accomplish that. And so there are things being worked in us that need to work in us. And I know back when I used to manage at country clubs, we get a new employee, and sometime the new employee, to get them to understand where items are, you might just send them, you know, because since they're new, a lot of them don't want to ask questions. So you send them to get a particular item. You know you're not going to see them for the next 10 minutes, maybe even 15 minutes, because number one, they don't even know what that item is. Number two, they have no clue where the item is if they do know what it is. But you know in the process, if this is a diligent employee, they want to make sure they don't return back without the item you sent them after. So by the time they make it back, guess what? Not only do they know where that item is, but in search of it, they found out where 20, 30, 40 other items are. Now, some people would say that's cruel. But that's a management tactic. It's a style of management, if you will, to where you don't have to spend a lot of time showing them individually where things are. Now they know. So in the dining room, each table is numbered. And you might have them numbered by even numbers or odd numbers, however they're numbered. But let's say that the table numbers go up to 33. And you'll tell an employee, hey, run this out to table 37. And that employee is out there looking for table 37. Where's table number 37? Well, I assure you By the time they figured out there was no table 37, they have a real good understanding of the floor diagram by the time they get through. All I'm saying is, people of God, that there's a way for us to learn, and God is doing things on the inside of us, setting us up, if you will, to become better than what we are, or to find out that we have more in us than we thought that we had. God is very purposed, very calculating in what he does. Now, when he puts us in positions and we know that we don't have the ability, which we don't, it should move us to call upon God and ask him for direction. And don't ask God for direction if we're not going to be obedient to what God showed us. Some of us will see something that the Lord has shown us, and because we don't like it, we want different terms, or we want a different way for it to be done. So you stay in prayer. You prayed for 2 hours when you could have just prayed for 10 minutes if you had just accepted what God said. But you prayed that other hour and 50 minutes trying to get God to change it from what you wanted. And can I tell you something? That song said that problem that I had, I just couldn't seem to solve. I prayed and I prayed and I got what? I just got deeper involved. A lot of people, instead of being obedient to what God has shown them, they stay in the format of prayer, but they ain't really praying. They're trying to figure out how they can do it another way. And since I was on my knees with my eyes closed and calling on Jesus, and this way that I saw, it must have come from the Lord. No, you have now tricked yourself into doing it your way. If you had stopped when the Lord talked to you and showed you how to do it, you'd have already been putting steps forward to doing it, and you would have already been seeing results. We got to be careful, people of God. This is a spiritual warfare, and it's psychological. And so the enemy ain't playing, and your flesh ain't playing, and God's show enough is not playing. And we need to do it the way God said do it. So if you all pray and ask God for direction, please be obedient to that direction so you can see the intended results, not the substituted results that we often put into play. All right. Now, let's look at this at some bullet points here. God has gifted us or empowered us to do, to produce what he's given you. And you notice in the passage that we read, he gave to them according to their several ability. And so God, whatever he has given you, if you don't seem to have the same abilities and talents as person A or B over here, don't get mad at God. Use what he has given you, because whatever he has given you is going to be great for the use of drawing souls, for the use of stabilizing souls. All right. So use what God has given you to its fullness. All right. Okay, now then you got some people who clearly have a gift, maybe a couple of gifts, but they don't even want to use those. They want to do what they see other people doing, and God haven't moved you into that realm yet, but now you're going to encroach upon these things because that's what you want to do. No, do what the Lord has blessed you to do. Capitalize upon it. Make it the best that it can possibly be. Amen. And then when you do that, there's a good chance that God is going to give you even more than what you have currently. Because in the process of using what God has given you, you are learning other things along the way. And so now your 5 talents can turn to 10. Your 2 talents can turn to 4. And when you use the 4 talents the right way, that can turn to 8. But what we're talking about here really is using the word of God, the power of God in you to draw souls. And we'll get to that, all right? The Bible says here, go ye into all the world and compel them to come. Now, God, not all of us have the same ability to compel. And so whatever your abilities are whereby you can encourage someone to be saved, to come to the Lord, use what he has given you to do that. But don't decide that I'm not going to use anything that the Lord has given me and be like the one who buried his one talent in the earth and then nothing comes of it. Because when the Lord returns, and what does the scripture say? The harvest is truly ripe, but the laborers are few. And so too many people are sticking their talents into the ground and souls are not being saved. And we got too many excuses. All right. So go ye into all the world and compel them to come. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Let me tell you, this is basically saying be on standby. You know, if you on standby for airliner, you know, you have to be there present at the place. You have to be, you can't be asleep. You got to hear the announcements as they come, so that you can be able to get on that plane. You're on standby. You have to be there and you have to be ready. All right. When you, are told to preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, you are on standby. In other words, you're working your job, you're being a mother, you're being a father, you whatever these things that are that you're doing, but you always realize that at any time God may want to use you. So your job is not more important than God. Your parenthood is not more important than God. And whenever God starts dealing with you, you're not going to lose your ability to parent and you're not going to lose your ability to do your job. God got that covered. Plus, you'll be able to do this over here. That's going to be able to help souls be saved. All right. When you feel confident, when you don't feel confident, if the word goes out, it will return gain. All right. I got a little note here that talk about the brothers that witnessed to me. I was in school at Central State, and I was going through a lot, and I was sitting with my girlfriend, and these two brothers came in where I was, and I was just going through so much, and I was having trouble with my girlfriend because I wasn't being a good boyfriend. And they came in there witnessing, and they came over to where we were, and tears started coming out of my eyes. Now, I'm pretty sure they probably thought that those tears mean that this brother is receiving what we're saying. Tears was coming out because I was so angry with them being there, because I'm trying to work out my little relationship here. And I feel like you are a great imposition. You're an interference on what I'm doing. I don't want to hear this junk. And I was trying to be respectful. I didn't want to say bad stuff to them. But if I had been one of them kind of fellas, I'd have screamed at them, tell them, y'all need to get your butt out of the door and get out of my way. And so the tears wasn't from repentance or feeling the word or feeling what they were talking about. I was just angry. I felt like they were encroaching upon my privacy, all right? But even in that, and I can't tell you one word that they said, but one planteth, another watereth, and God giveth the increase. And they tried to witness to me, and I wouldn't receive it. A few months passed by, and somebody else witnessed to me. There was the planting, and there was the watering. And when I went to the house of the Lord, God gave the increase. I want to encourage you, even when folks are rejecting you, and they may speak what I felt on the inside and didn't speak, they may even want to chase you off, scream at you or whatnot, but you owe it to that soul to be obedient to God and be a planter or waterer, so that God can give the increase. And if you don't do your job, if I don't do my job, how are souls going to be saved? All right. And so with whatever ability you have, use that as the Lord has given it to you. All right. If the word does not go out, it is like hiding it in the earth, whereby it collects nothing. All right. Verse 18 says, but he that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. The question here, is this us? Is this what we're doing? Are we failing to invest God's word into the world? Is the world so terrible to us? Do we hate the world so much? Now look here, we should hate the world and things of the world, but when I'm saying hate the world so much, I'm talking about the people that's out there. Do we hate those people so much that we're going to withhold the word from them? Are we acting like Jonah was against the Ninevites and saying they don't deserve the word? They chose to live ugly and let them die ugly. Well, thank God that the Lord didn't do that with us, and he sent somebody to us to deliver us out of the way that we were living. Thankfully, the Lord didn't say, well, they wanted to live ugly, let them die ugly and bust hell wide open. But that's not what he did. He sent somebody to us, somebody who was obedient enough to bring us God's word, to bring us an invitation to be saved. And so let this not be us hiding the word of God from those who need it. All right. Is the word of so little concern that we just don't even think of it? Now, this is another reason why folks don't witness, because they're not really involved in the word. They may read a daily scripture or two just for the sake of saying I'm fulfilling my Christian obligation, but the word is not meaningful to them. And since it's not meaningful to them, they don't meditate upon the word. They don't think upon the word. They don't value the word. And so therefore, there's nothing in them actually actively working that can go out and help someone. Let that not be us. All right. The Lord has entrusted his word to us, in us, to bring forth fruit. All right. So, I remember being a little kid, this man, he was one of our bus drivers and custodians, Mr. What was his name? Cartwheel. I can't remember his name right now. But he hired me and my friend to go out and pick peas. And you got paid by the bushel. And so I wanted to get paid. I was out there and I knew how to pick peas. We had a garden of our own. And I picked those peas, and I don't remember how many I picked, but I made some good money. And my friend, for some reason, and I know he knew how to do it too, but I wasn't paying attention while we was out there, because, you know, and let me point this out. That's another thing. When you're really doing what your hands find to do, you know, that the Lord has guided you in, you don't have a lot of time to be looking over at somebody else to see what they are or are not doing, all right? You know that sprinter, when he's running, if he spends his time looking around at the other sprinters, he's going to lose time. He's just got to get on the cross. Now, unless you're Usain Bolt, you can look around and he's just so fast, but you understand the gist of what I'm saying here. I just thought that he was doing the same thing that I was doing. And when we got done, that man talked about my friend so bad. He used language that wasn't profanity, but that could have been profanity, because he was talking about him so bad, about don't know what he's doing, lazy, don't care, this, that, another. Look, we have been employed, if you will, by the Spirit of the Lord to go out and compel souls to come. And we're out here to harvest the fruit, and we got to get it done. Amen. And our pay is eternal life. And so in their pay, we bring them in, and their pay is eternal life. All right. Now, here's some excuses people make. But I'm just not good at talking to people. I don't know enough about God to tell somebody about the Lord. Oh, I'd mess things up and God will be upset with me. I'm not skilled like First Lady and Elder Pope. I don't have experiences like Elder Gentry or the boldness like Deacon Don. Look, we got to be careful about this mindset of thinking that we're not good enough. You're right. You aren't good enough. And the sooner you learn that, I learn that, and everybody else learn that, the sooner we can be about the business of God. Because as soon as you go out there thinking, all right, I'm equipped now, well, then you're not going to let the Lord do it for you. You do need to study the word. You need to have word in you, but you don't need to go off half-cocked like you got it all going on. You just need to trust the Lord to bring up what needs to be brought up to help an individual. And whatever the Lord brings up, that's going to be enough for them. All right. When the Lord returns for his harvest, will he reap excuses or the product of obedient servants? That's something to think about. All right, verses 19 through 25, and we'll get done here pretty quick. This is Matthew, the 25th chapter. Now we're going verses 19 through 25. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That sounds good, doesn't it? Let's be obedient. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. In other words, what belongs to you, there it is in the earth. Now, there's a saying that I developed after I heard this from someone a long time ago. And he said, I'd rather act than do nothing waiting for permission. Now, look, we want to make sure we do anything we do by permission from the Lord. But here it is, the things that we already have permission for, we're sitting around acting like we don't have permission. All right. And so we need to act upon it. He told us all to go out into the world and compel them to come. He said, go ye into Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth, and compel them to come. So that is what we've already been given permission to do, but it's not a glory thing. It's not, that is real labor. That's real work going out there witnessing, to people. You have to take a chance of having rejection towards you. And sometimes people don't want to deal with that, but we got to get over that and do what the Lord has told us to do. All right. So we've already been given permission to go out and witness. So what's our hang up? Why are we holding back? All right. And you know, you can feel your heartstrings being pulled on. The Lord lets you see somebody and the Lord is showing you, just go say something about me to them. When you open your mouth, the Lord is going to say the rest of what needs to be said. You don't have to worry about what's going to be said. If you trust the Lord enough to go to that soul, then continue to trust him for whatever needs to be said to that soul for them to be saved. All right. God's ways and desire for us should be known in our hearts. All right. The word in us should guide us to do his will. Remember, these were his own servants. They should know him and what he expects. All right. You know, if I'm a kid and I come over my friend's house, I don't know my friend's parents, but my friend does. And, you know, usually you go over to your friend's house and you may go to do something that's normal at your house, and your friend see you getting ready, let's say, to change the channel on TV, and they grab you by the arms and, no, man, you can't do that. My daddy'd get upset if you do that. Well, he knows his dad. His dad may have never said to him, you're not allowed to change the channel, but he knows by the dad's behavior, how the house is run, that channel changing belongs to him. When we have a real relationship with God, we know what is expected. We know what God desires from us, all right? And so there shouldn't be a problem relaying that to someone if we have a true relationship with God, if we're in an obedient relationship. That's the only way you can have a real relationship with God is you be obedient to him. Amen. Ignorance is not an excuse, nor can ignorance replace obedience. So in other words, I'm too stupid, Lord. I can't do what you asked me to do. I don't know nothing. And so we expect that this excuse of I don't know anything, but we got so much faith, the Lord will get it done anyway. I'm too stupid to do it, Lord, but I got so much faith, I know it's going to get done anyway. Well, it was supposed to get done through you. Let's make sure that we do what the Lord is telling us to do, people of God. All right, my time has expired here, and the priority of obedience, I hope, has been made clear or clearer, that we need to be in an obedient relationship with the Lord. Let us do what the Lord has prompted us to do and have enough faith, enough trust in God that when we go forth to do it, that the Lord is, that the Lord will open our mouths and say the right things, and that our actions will be the right actions. The tone of the things that are coming out will be the right tone because we're acting in obedience to the Lord, and the Lord is going to let everything. And then later on, you'll leave from that conversation. You say, oh, I should have said this. I should have said that. No, it didn't come to your mind for a reason, because the Lord said what he wanted to say at that time. Just like when you're preaching, you had all this stuff mapped out and the way that you was going to say it and certain words you was going to use. And then later on you say, I messed up. I didn't bring that out. You didn't mess up. God got out what he wanted to get out. All right. And so let's build on what we've heard today and let's be obedient to the Lord. Amen. We have Friday night prayer at 7 o'clock, by way of the phone call. And let's be on that. And then let's be back here at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. God bless you, people of God. If you have any questions, feel free to text or call me. And it's good to see you on here, Sister Walker. I hadn't seen you on here in a while. God bless you, my friend. God bless.